Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That first hymn, or the last hymn we sang, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." So anything else when compared to the blood and his righteousness doesn't quite measure up. And the thing that we're going to be discussing today, or I will be discussing, is that righteousness component, how God is righteous, how he displays that righteousness, and how we are supposed to display that as well.
So I think we're on now. One thing I'm going to make note of, my approach is a little different this time. As I'm still new to this whole thing, I've been trying to work on things and try to improve upon how the presentation may go, but more importantly, what the material may be and how pertinent it may be to us as a body of believers. So one of the things that I've tried to focus on is what the Word has said and how we are to react to it. So to start off with, a couple things since I've last spoken that I've been diligently trying to work on is some of the fruits of the Spirit that are manifest in us as believers. And one of them specifically is the self-control aspect for me personally. I'm not going to get into details. I can tell you in private if you want to. But that's one thing that I've been leaning on the Lord and trusting on him to work in my life. Because as we're going to discuss today, we're going to talk about his righteousness, how he displayed that through Jesus, and how we are supposed to display that as Christians. So if we could just start in 1 John, I want to read a couple verses from 1 John to kind of launch us into this morning. 1 John chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 25, and we'll read through 29. "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. The things that I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him." So two of the things that we're going to look at specifically are this abiding in him and this righteousness. All right. I made notes today. I usually don't do notes, but I decided to write a couple things down so I don't get off track. In order to discover some of this specifically, we're going to look at some of the teaching of Jesus. And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read a few verses, and then I'll reiterate my objective for this morning. Now let's look to what Jesus teaches us here in Matthew 5. We're going to read a good portion here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye the men when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Pretty straightforward. We're going to look at some of those, but specifically we're going to look at the one that says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One of the things we're going to discuss today is, as Christians, what is our intention in life? What is our purpose in life, if you will? And one of the things that has really come to my mind lately is this righteousness that God imparts to us through the blood of the cross. And when we think of heaven, are we thinking of that? Are we thinking of God's holiness, or are we thinking of other things? Things that may come into our heads through different thoughts or our ideas of what heaven may be like. But I believe, as we'll see today, that God is preparing us now for that righteousness that's in heaven, where sin cannot ascend up to. He's preparing us now for that righteousness. Let's continue in verse 13. More specifically on how we should act and how we should be. He goes on and says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Again, we're going to be looking at this purpose, this working for God. The salvation that comes to us is free, freely given, freely received. And we have this through faith. But once we receive that, we understand where we could have been and where we will be going now as a Christian. So we have a job to do, each and every one of us. We've been placed in a specific location, in our jobs, in a school, wherever it may be. And it doesn't matter if there's one person or 100 people. We're to shine our light before men. So we'll get into more specifics of what our jobs are and the work that the Lord has for us. And it's a good work. Verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be all fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, and the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now Jesus is speaking to these people. He's ushering in a new way, a new and living way. He's looking back and saying, this is what you've been taught. I've come to fulfill the law. I've fulfilled it perfectly. And the scribes and the teachers were supposed to teach that. Now we know that they failed, Israel failed, but Jesus didn't fail. And so what he's telling us is he's saying, this righteousness, unless it's better than that, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, it's nothing that we can bring into heaven that's going to get us there. It's what God can bring. And he brings it through us, through Christ. It's his righteousness through us that brings us there. So one of the main objectives as a Christian is we should be in that. We should be studying that. We should be learning that. We should be doing that. And we'll look at that in a little more detail later. But I want to finish up right there. And let me reiterate again the objective this morning. First is this concept of following Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like? What are some of the scripture verses that mention that? Or abiding, it says in the scripture, abiding in Christ. And when we do that, what does that look like? The Bible talks about bearing fruit. So we're going to look at some of those verses where Jesus talks about fruit and what that looks like. and why we're supposed to bear fruit. What's the main objective to doing that? He has an objective. He's laid it out for us. And it's ultimately to bring glory to him, not us. So that's one of the things we need to look at, is how we look at our life, how we look at our purpose, our intentions, and what we're going to do tomorrow, this week, next year. Is it lined up with his intentions and his goals and ultimately his glory? And when we see that, we look at this verse, we look at this concept of righteousness. And I'm going to equate that with when we get to heaven, we'll fulfill that. We'll be fully righteous with Christ. And that should be a goal that we should esteem as well. So this concept of abiding in Christ or following him, I mentioned the word purpose. We all have a purpose in life or an intention. What motivates us? What drives us? Whether we recognize it or not. It's our primary aim. And whatever that aim is, it's a driving force. Some of us have good intentions, some not so much. I've had plenty of not so much good intentions. I've had plenty of intentions that I live for myself. And that's what the world's doing. So we shouldn't be like the world, we should be like Christ. He had an intention. He came here to do a job, and he did it. So he left that responsibility with us. So redefining our purpose in life is important, because I had my purpose. And some of us need to look closely at that. Thankfully, the Lord has blessed me with an opportunity to work in line with what I can do. It is my purpose as a Christian. I can serve people and serve God at the same time. And that's ultimately what we do. We're fishers of men. So if you can do that, and you can, with whatever you do, that should be an objective of yours. It should be an intention. Again, whatever you're looking at as far as your lens of purpose is what you're going to drive to. Some of us wrestle with things, with our time, with family, with work, with our hobbies. But as I grow as a Christian, as I see more and more, I realize those things are becoming less and less bright in my soul, if you will. They're becoming strangely dim. And the light of Christ is becoming brighter and brighter. And so we should be living that way for others as well. So we know the concepts of believing on the Lord Jesus. We all here have made that profession. We believe upon him. And we've been taught in Romans chapter 12 that we are to renew our minds. And that's the starting point, is taking that, what God has put in your skull, and using it for his glory, and learning and understanding more of his will and his word. And as we do that, we lean upon him no matter what happens in life. We sang about it in the hymns. Where's our anchor? Where's it rooted in? And as a ship, we can get swayed around with the wind and the waves. And I'm sure we've all had those experiences. We certainly had a worldly experience the last 2-3 months. But as we'll also see, this life brings us these things. So we shouldn't be surprised. And I believe that a lot of these things come as a test for us. The Lord is testing us to see where our faith is, to see where our belief is, and where our rock is. Is it in him? Colossians 2:6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." So that's kind of the focus, if you will, is to follow Christ and walk in him. What is he doing? What is he doing in us? And we do have to be careful, because this world will distract us. The enemy is crafty. And as I mentioned earlier, some of the things that I've been working on is I can get trapped in certain things on the internet. And when I go to my phone, I have Yahoo as my search engine, because I like to look for certain things. And Yahoo is very distracting. There's certain stories that rope you in, and there's certain things that are not true, fully true, half true. You don't know what the truth is. So I've taken that out of my my equation. My phone does not. I found a Christian search engine in order to search things. That's one thing that I've maybe little, but I think it adds up. Hebrews 3:12. I want to read a few verses. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We know sin is very deceitful. I know it's hard to believe what's true and what's not true, but we know